Fred Film Radio, Festival de Cannes, France.
Joining us at this time is Ali Attassi, producer of a documentary called Little Palestine, Diary of a Siege, which screened in the parallel section of the Cannes Film Festival, ACID. Ali, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Matt. I'm happy to be with you today.
So we're going to be talking about Little Palestine, Diary of a Siege. Now, Ali, you were involved in the film, right?
I'm supposed to be the producer and the creative producer. And I was involved from the first day with Abdallah, the director. He's not with us today because he don't speak English. But I will try to answer to your question about this project and this film. Not on behalf of Abdallah, but as a part of the team and as the main producer of the film.
Where are you speaking from right now?
Right now, I am in Berlin with my family, but I am based in Beirut. Okay. I am the director of a structure called Bilad for Audiovisual Art. It's a civil company based in Beirut, and we are the main producer of Little Palestine, Diary of a Siege.
Do you produce other documentaries like this? What is it that you guys do?
I am myself a filmmaker and a producer. I did a couple of documentary films on Syria. I am myself a Syrian coming from Syria. Mm-hmm. And Bidayat, it's a structure we work on training for emergent artists, Syrian but also Palestinian and Lebanese, emergent young artists, filmmaker. And we start working since 8 years in Beirut with the beginning of the Syrian uprising and the Arab Spring. We mainly work with young people from the region, from this three country. We train, but also we produce the first or second film. Bidayat, the meaning of the name is beginners, which is mean that we really work only with the beginners for their first or second film.
So, I mean, I guess the importance here is to get the perspective of people from the region when talking about these stories, right?
Yeah, and get the perspective from the people of the region, but also give the capacity for our own people, for the artists, that to speak and to have their own narrative about what's happened, and to be able to produce the image that it look a little bit, resemble about what they lived there. We are working from within.
Uh-huh.
This is what we try to do.
Why do you feel it's important?
For several reasons, but let me say that Syria and the conflict in Syria, it was covered for the international media everywhere in the world. But I think the angle how the conflict was covered, it's different from how the people from within can leave it and feel right about it and see it. Second, I think after 10 years of conflict in Syria, the mass media, they are a little bit tired, and they pretend to, Syria become part of the puzzle, but the suffering of the civilian and also that all this story of the Arab Spring, the fight for freedom, for dignity, etc., in a way or another, it was put aside because several reasons, but also the ISIS, the Islamists, they took over the stage was a terrible thing. But also the media, international media, they get Jews. And I think it's important for us, in any case, to be able to tell our story from our point of view and allow young artists, filmmaker, to also tell their stories from within. I don't know if we succeed all the time, but I think it's important. And what we try to do also is to make it that the film that we produce, that the narrative that we are trying to work on it, we will like to see it or to be to make it universal in a way or another, accessible for others. And we don't do, I mean, journalism or also, of course, not a propaganda film and political activism. We try to do cinema, documentary cinema. Of course, you have political positions of people there and you tell the story from your point of view. But first of all, we have the ambition to make documentary films.
Speaking case in point about Little Palestine, Diary of a Siege, you talk about insight. Well, it really doesn't get more insightful, or often doesn't, than this particular film. But Ali, I would love for you to kind of maybe say a few words of introduction about this documentary, especially for the people who are not familiar with it. Can you tell us a little bit about its story and just, like I said, a little introduction?
Okay, it's not easy, as I am not the filmmaker, I am the producer, but I will try on the behalf of Abdallah in a way or another, but I think Abdallah is the best person to speak about his own film, not only because he is the filmmaker, but also he is the one who lived under the siege, and he was part of this, the people of Yarmouk. And the Yarmouk is quarter of Damascus. It's part of Damascus, but it's also the biggest Palestinian camp in the world. It's not a camp, it's a kind of city. It became a city after half century, but we continue to call it the Yarmouk camp. And in the beginning of the Syrian uprising, the camp was a little bit putting beside with the conflict, but step by step, the Syrian regime ended by bombing the camp, killing the people, and at the end, they put the camp under the siege. About the rest of the population, mainly elderly people and young people, there was around 20,000. They lived for 2 years under the siege. From one side is the Syrian regime, the other side it was ISIS, Daesh, and later on ISIS took over the camp, and Abdallah moved with other activists and people to the Ghouta area. It was an area under the control of the Syrian Free Army, and they stayed there in 2018, and they left with the buses to the north of Syria, and later on to Turkey, and he get the political asylum from Germany, and he come with his archive. I met Abdallah online during the siege. We tried to work a little bit together to cover what happened there. And we did some online training with Abdallah and other young people in the camp. But later on, when Abdallah arrived to Istanbul with all this archive, and we feel that this is a kind of the exceptional material from within, and this kind of archive need to be shared and tell. Then this is the idea of the film. Start from there. We work hard to with Abdallah, and Abdallah worked hard on the on this archive to start to see how we can build the narrative structure and the idea of the film, etc. I don't feel very comfortable to speak about all this aspect, because it was the work of Abdallah. We was here around him to help, but you know, this is the creative part. And the story is Abdallah's story, you know?
I do feel it's important to highlight that, as an outsider looking in, one of the things that I found was so powerful about the film was this contrast between the cinema verite insight on this shocking, horrible situation from within the camp, and this poetic eye and even narration provided by Abdallah, the director himself. Ali, you said you were involved in the project from day one. What were those early online exchanges about? What were they like early on?
No. When we was in contact online, it was not for this film. It was about documenting what happened and to some logistic issue. And Abdallah had, Bidayat, with other project on the camp, and he was the main DOP, the cameraman, for other project, but he didn't feel at the time that he's ready to think about his own project or to do a film. He was thinking about more important thing at this moment. It's about surviving and about working on the humanitarian side and with young people. Then later on, when he arrived with his archive to Turkey, then we start talking seriously about the film itself. But let me go back to what you say at the beginning of your question. I think you mentioned shocking and very cinema reality and a very shocking reality, and voice off who come with a very poetical approach, if I can say. Poetic approach, but I believe that this is from my point of view, it's a unique moment of cinema, because when it comes to this story of massacres, of siege, of suffering of civilian, because the camera, it was inside with people. Between people, and the filmmaker himself, he was part of this population. Then it's a unique point of view, because you can see from the first image to the end of the film, of course the suffering, but how Abdullah tried to show the dignity of the people. Yeah. And this is also because I think he tried to film the people like he liked to be filmed himself in this very terrible moment. It's about resilience, about dignity, and about suffering. But he never tried to look or to run after shocking image or in a very spectacular way. It was more about bring the image, make this image accessible and comprehensive, and make it more universal. How this kind of atrocities can be done to vulnerable people, elderly people, young people, by authoritarian regime, by all this terrible structure of domination in our region, and mainly the Syrian regime and later on ISIS. I think this is what make. Let's think about what happened to the Armenian at the beginning of the 20th century. Let's think about what happened in the concentration camp, what happened later on in Cambodia, or later on in Cambodia, and all these places where the civilian was targeted and victim, the camera, the video camera, the film, the moving image was not there from within to try to tell the story from the other side. We have some still image from there and there, and we have later on the narrative, the literature, the poetry, the documentation about the survivor, etc. Here, I think it's a quite unique, I can say, a kind of turning point, high from within, with this very personal archive. The filmmaker himself, he's starving between the starving people, but he try also to resist with his image and try to document or to keep this memory with him. And later on, he tried to do a film, a documentary film. And this is very important. He didn't make a journalistic reportage. He didn't only put the archive like this. He tried to create a narrative, a structure to tell a story and to make a cinema film.
Obviously, when we talk about the cinematic art form, by its very nature, I guess, it does sort of counter or provide an alternative to what you mentioned earlier, the media and journalism. They weave another type of narrative, basically. But this cinematic one is also very important. For example, I remember one particular part that really stayed with me when he talks about walking and how he defines it as a ritual of survival under siege.
Let me tell you an important story about that from my point of view as a director, because when Abdullah was under the siege and he succeeded in a very complicated way to send the first hard drive to us in Beirut.
Yeah.
Around 2016. and we received the image, and we was working on other film related to the Yarmouk camp, and we start to look to this image of people walking in the street and this way of walking. You know, they look tired, but they continue to walk like they don't have, they don't go to any direction, just walking for walking. And we was not able to understand all the meaning of this image. We feel that it's very strong. It tell a lot, but we was not able to understand all the level of meaning on this image. When Abdullah came and we start to talk about that and he start working, I was shocked to understand that all this image keep within telling story about the siege and the people. Because Abdullah say that during the siege and when there's no food, people that are starving and they stay at home, it's more suffering because you are hungry and you don't have a food, you can't do it. And then the only thing that you do to resist or to try to forget that, it's go out and walk. And it's not one or two person. The people of the Yarmouk, they was in the street walking. And the way of walking without have a direction tell a lot about this hunger and the way of, you know, you can't stay at home. But if you look more deeper to the image, the majority of them have a kind of plastic bag in their hand. And they have this bag because they think perhaps they will find here on this corner or other corner a rest of food that they can bring with them at home. It also, again, it tell that this image from the first view, we was not able to understand all this level of. And the last point, which is amazing also, the majority of people who walk, they end to walk on the main street where it was the market, the vegetable market. It's empty, it's no market anymore, but they go there. You know, then you see a sample image like this can tell a lot of things. And how Abdullah tried to tell the story of this image and this walking, and he tell it in a very poetical way, make it more universal, more accessible, but also he give us the space and the time to think about it. He don't give us a lessons about what happened and how he feel about it. He give us the space of interpretation and thinking about the human condition for the people there and for ourselves, sitting in our apartment next to our kitchen, having an everyday normal life. But, you know, he tried to make us involved in one another and thinking that we can be in the place of these people.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really powerful. And I think it's also the type of attention to detail that only someone who has lived and experienced those events firsthand can have. I mean, I can think of other examples, too, that wouldn't necessarily be seen anywhere else, like the balloons, for example, the red balloons that are given to children as a way to kind of, I don't know, distract them from the horrible situation. And there are several other examples, again, that I do feel one can only pick up on if they have lived in that experience, if they have lived it firsthand and experienced it in their own skin.
Again, I mean, the balloon in the hand of the children, it was used a lot when it comes to Syria and the gravities and some fiction film and other places as a symbol, but also, and here is the reality itself. And the balloon, it became, you know, it tell a lot about the children, about the relation with the rest of the world, but about what is happiness and how we create happiness inside this atrocities.
That's great. So we've kind of run out of time, but I think our listeners will understand from this interview that this we're talking about a really, really powerful film. And it was great. Thank you for joining us and talking with us about it.
Thank you, Matt. It's really a pleasure, and I hope that our discussion will encourage people to go and see the film soon, I hope, in England or in other place in Europe. I think the message that we try to tell in this film and the film itself, it's concern everybody in the world. It's not only about the Palestinian of Syria, of the Yarmouk camp, but also about the human being everywhere in the world.
Fred Film Radio.
24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.